And here's what David said in verse 3. David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he said, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." I'm interested in that last phrase. We know the text. We know the setting of the story historically this morning. But I'm interested in the phrase that David speaks to Jonathan in the latter part of verse 3. He says, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Death is only a step away. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning. Touch our heart. Open up our soul to the Word of God. If there be someone listening today that's lost, that's not prepared to face this time, Lord, in their life, where they will step out into eternity, I pray that they would not leave this building today until they are assured in their heart that they are born into the family of God. I pray for someone that might be listening by way of the internet today, that, Lord, you'd touch their heart and reveal unto them the condition of their soul. And, Father, I pray that they would, Lord, repent of their sin and call on the Lord for salvation and experience the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Death is only a step away. I'm asking the question this morning, are you ready to take that step? Are you ready to step out into eternity and meet God? The setting of the story is clear here. David is being pursued. Saul is on his heels. Saul desires to take his life. And Saul is doing that to try to postpone the judgment of God on his own life, and then also to try to preserve the posterity of his family as they would sit upon the throne of the nation of Israel. And in that, David is running. David knows God's hand has been upon him. David has slew a lion. David has slew a bear. David has been an honorable soldier in the king's army. He has walked in the valley of Elah and took a stone and a sling and slayed a giant that was an enemy of the nation of Israel. But here in our text, David feels threatened. And even though God had a plan for David, and God would truly preserve and protect his life until he would fulfill the purpose and the divine will of God, David knew that death is only a step away. In that, he wrote this in the Psalms in chapter number 23. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." David knew that death lurked around every corner. That David understood that as he lived his life in this world, that death was close. And in this text, David says that death is but a step. A death is just a step, amen, in my life at this point. Are you ready this morning to take that step? You preach about death. You preach about this subject, and folk get nervous. Folk get intimidated. Folk even may have a sense of fear in their heart. But here's what David said in Psalms 23 again. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's not talking about a time when he will die. He is talking about, in that phrase of Psalms 23, the reality that he's journeying in this life. And as he walks, death is all around him. Death is a part of living. The reality of that is all around. And David said, "I will live my life knowing that I'm only a step away from death. And I will live my life knowing and understanding, amen, that I can fear no evil. I will fear nothing because my heart is right with God." Is your heart right with God this morning? Death, only a step away. Are you ready to take that step this morning? I thought about the surety of death in this phrase. Here's what David says: as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. It's pretty sure, isn't it? Life may be uncertain this morning. And it is. I don't know what you may face tomorrow. I have no idea what you may have to deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow may be a great day in your life. It may be one of the happiest times of your entire life on this earth. It may be a time of joy and a time of reward, a time of prosperity. But tomorrow could be the worst day in your life. Tomorrow you may receive news that you don't want to receive. Tomorrow you may hear about something that you don't want to hear about. Tomorrow you may be plagued with something that you have no desire would be a part of your life. Tomorrow that could be a reality. We need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to be able to accept that as the people of God. Death, amen, is sure. Life is uncertain. I promise you there is a guarantee that goes with death that exceeds any guarantee that would be represented in anything you possess today. Amen. The guarantee that death has, it cannot be revoked. It is unconditional. It is unlimited. Amen. You buy something today and there it'll say it has a lifetime limited, lifetime guarantee, or it has a guarantee for this amount of years, or for this many miles, or for this many hours, or for your lifetime, but not the lifetime of someone else. But I promise you, death has a lifetime guarantee that has no limits. It cannot be revoked. There are no stipulations to it. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. Amen. You're not smart enough to outwit it this morning. You'll never be intellectual enough. I don't know what. It's amazing in the last 50 years what we have attained in the realm of knowledge and intellect. But I promise you, there'll be nothing invented that will snatch away the reality of death. There's no human being that will ever be academically inclined to the point that they will be so smart that they can outwit death. Oh no, there's no individual here today that's strong enough. There's no individual that will ever have enough power to overcome death. You will never be sly enough, amen, to escape the reality of death. Death is real. Death is a reality this morning, and it's very important that you understand that today. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. It's a sure thing. 375 times death is used in the Bible. Even though this Bible is a book of life, a book of eternal life, over 528 times the word died is in the Bible. Devil and death go together. Sin and death walk hand in hand. You know, I thought about this. I wrote this in my Bible after I was meditating in the study this morning for a little while. It's amazing to me that we seem to love the things that promote the very thing that hurts us the most. Nothing hurts any more than death. Some of you have experienced that hurt. Some of you have faced that anguish of heart. Some of you have had those questions that have no answer to them. Some of you have wept at a casket, wept at a funeral, wept with your family and friends over the loss of a loved one. Yes, we sing about the resurrection of Christ, and through that resurrection we have hope and the promise that one day we will see our loved ones on the other side. What a blessing that is, amen. I rejoice in that today, but in the midst of that loss, I have grieved. In the midst of that loss, I have hurt. hurt when he had thought I couldn't go another day just like you have. But time and the grace of God, amen, has given what I needed in my soul to strengthen me to go on another day. And I could sit there and rejoice this morning, Brother Jim, knowing that I have hope beyond this life, that I will see my loved ones again, because Jesus had the power after he laid his life down on Calvary for the sins of the world to get up out of the grave, and he ever lives this morning for you and I. Thank God for that reality. Thank God for that promise. But I'm going to tell you what, God is not the author of death. God didn't create death. Amen. Why did God take them? God didn't take them. Death took them. I've listened to a mother cry out, "Why did God take my boy?" God didn't take her son. Death took her son. Why did God take them? Death. God has nothing to do with death. God is life. Are you listening to me today? I'm telling you, God is life, and everything about God revolves around life, revolves around peace and worship and joy. Death, amen, death was offered by the devil and sin. For by one man's disobedience, you listening to me? For by one man's disobedience, death, amen, became a reality in this world. Amen. I can read you the verses if you'd like for me to. We can go to the book of Romans. For all have sinned, the Bible says. We know that, and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But Paul said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You cannot separate that truth. I tell you what, you look at death, and it's the third verse in the Word of God. When you look at the word death, the devil is saying to the people around him, "Thou shalt not surely die." Has he said that to you? Somebody dies, you grieve, you hurt, questions in your mind. But I tell you, as you walk out to live your life to the world and to sin and to the pleasures of the flesh, something rings out in your mind from hell itself saying, "Thou shalt not surely die." That's not going to happen to you. You'll never go off the side of the road. You'll never hit a telephone pole. You'll never get cancer. You'll never have a heart condition. You'll never have that problem. You're not going to die. Don't worry about it. Live your life. You'll be fine. You have plenty of time in the end to get things settled between you and God. But David said, death is sure. There's just a step. He said, as God lives and as your soul is alive, Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. Are you ready to take that step? Lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Amen. I was thinking what earlier, Brother Dan, we have a lot of unanswered questions, but death, Miss Fawn, is about sin and the devil and the existence of it in this world. That's it. Boy, if I could some way get the people in this building right here, Brother Ronnie, to hate with every fiber of their being, Brother Steve, the very thing that promotes and authors death, we would have the greatest revival the world has ever known. If you could hate sin and hate the devil, amen, with the passion that swells up within your soul when we lose a loved one or we have to deal with the reality of death, I'm telling you, if we could hate the devil who brought it into being, if we could hate sin that brings it as a reality, which is the wage of it, I'm telling you today, we could have revival. But it's amazing how we are so tempted and snared and drawn by the devil and so apt to sin, knowing that the very things that they promote has hurt us the worst in life. God help us this morning. Amen. I wish that God would help me. And you know what sin is? Sin is a transgression of the law. Listen to me carefully. Sin is what not, it's not what you have established in your mind as your own basis of morality. Sin is not what you have established in your mind. It's what's right and what's wrong and what you can live with or what you feel good about. Sin is a transgression of this book that I hold in my hand. Every word, every precept, every principle, no matter how you feel, what you're doing, how you live, sin is a transgression of the precepts of this book. Amen. If we can hate it, Brother Kevin, if we can hate it with the passion that we hurt with when we have lost a loved one, we can know something about the power of God. Amen. In this day. Amen. Death is only a step away this morning. Joseph Cole, you're going to die. You understand that, John Taylor? I buried babies. I buried 17-year-old boys. I buried old people. Death is not a respecter of persons this morning, Luke Bowles. You better understand what I'm saying. Nobody expects it. Nobody's ready for it. Nobody is ever fully prepared for it. But death is real. Life is uncertain. But I promise you, as God is alive and as your soul liveth, there is just a step between you and death. Amen. Let me talk to you about the step of death. Just a step. How close is that, preacher? That close. That's how close it is. That close. You're fixing to stand up in this pew in just a moment. When I conclude this message, we may have a song of invitation, and you're going to take a step to get out of here. Nobody's going to pick you up and carry you out of here unless you die before you stand up. You're going to take a step. And that step is how close you are to eternity, according to that text. Are you ready to meet the Lord? That step represents a period of time. That step, David said, there's just a step between me and death. And I taught about this in the Sunday school hour, I guess maybe last summer or whenever it was, about the timeline of God, the years that humanity has existed on this earth, and how that you have just a small part in the thousands of years that have existed here where man has lived on the earth that God has created in that 6,000-year period of time or so. You have just a small portion, and that is your step in life. Are you listening to me? It represents a period of time, a time of opportunity, a time of privilege, a time of choice, a time where the grace of God has given you life and sustained that life. Let everything in this world be kept in order by the word of His power. Give you air to breathe. Give you food to eat. Yes, we can sing. We are blessed. Shoes on our feet. Food on our table. Clothes on our back. God has been good to us. He's reigned on the just and He's reigned on the unjust. But there is a period of time that you represent in life. That period of time is a step. That's all it is. That period of time is a step. That step represents a purpose. God has a divine will for your life. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires this morning to save your soul. God desires to give you eternal life. It's not about a set of beliefs. It's not about a political position. It's not about, amen, situation ethics or your moral standing or what you feel like is right or what you feel like is wrong. There is a will of God, and that will represents your soul today. God is not willing that any should perish. God desires in this period of time that you have on this earth to save your soul. God desires that you walk with him and serve him and live a godly life and touch the lives of others and have joy and peace and a family. Amen. God has a desire for you. Yes, there's anguish. Yes, there's trouble. Yes, there's problems. Yes, we have afflictions and trials in this life. But I'm telling you, God has a divine purpose for your life in that step. Yet we understand that broad is a way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Well, I had a man tell me this. I had a man tell me this the last few days. He said, well, he said, I have my relationship with the Lord. And he had his relationship with the Lord, and it was totally different than mine. But he said, I can accept that. I can't. But that's the mindset of this world. You better listen to what I'm telling you. The mindset of this world and the influence of Satan himself in this society is for everybody to accept everybody and everybody to accept everything. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, that Bible doesn't accept everybody and that Bible doesn't accept everything. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's narrow-minded. No, that's Bible. Amen. That's hate. No, that's love. That's not hate, that's love. Hey man, I'm not wanting anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to live outside of the grace of God. I'm preaching what I'm preaching today so that people will come to Christ, so that people will be saved. Well, it's your way, preacher, or no way at all. No, it's not my way, it's God's way. It's the way God has put it, and God has given it me. Hey man, the call of God and the responsibility to declare that truth and to unveil that truth today. And it's Jesus, it's the blood of Christ, it's repentance of sin and faith in the Lord. Lord, or it's judgment and hell. That's the only option.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Just a step between me and death. It's a path. Well, you have your way, preacher, and I'll have my way. No, I wished it was that way, but it's not. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and your way may seem right, may feel right. You may think it's right with every ounce of your mind. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Death. Leads down the path of death and destruction. Leads down the path of judgment. Oh, God, help us today to understand there's life. There's life and peace and joy. I stood at the house, sang with my family last night, sat on the back porch, and I thank God for that opportunity, for that privilege to have that fellowship, amen, with my family. I come to the house of God. I bear your burdens in the prayer room. We pray together. Seek the face of God. We'll have a tent meeting this week. Preach the gospel. Try to compel people to come in. That's the purpose and the path of God for our life in this step that we have. Just a step between me and death, you and death. Death is only a step away. The surety of death, the step of death, the separation of death. I want you to think about that word for just a moment, and we'll close. The separation of death. There is but a step, what's the next word? Between me and death. That's what separates you from death this morning. That little word between. David is haunted by Saul. David is feared for his life. David is consumed with running and trying to escape the hand of vengeance that has been enacted toward him by this king that has disobeyed the word of God and that is chasing after him. And David knew that there was not very much at all between him and death that separated him from dying. You know what that word between represents this morning for you? It represents life, Johnny. The fact that you can breathe and see me and hear me. The fact that you can get up and move and walk and function as a human being. Life. That's what that step represents. Dead men don't take steps. Steps represent life. Taking steps represents the fact that you still are mobile. You still have the opportunity and the privilege to choose and to live and to breathe. And you have that today. It involves direction. I've preached about that already. But when you take a step, you're going to go out this building. You're either going to go down this hall, that aisle, that door. You're going to exit this building and you are going to think. Whether you can think about thinking or not, your mind is going to respond to a thought process, and through that thought process, it is going to distribute commands throughout your body that's going to gather your belongings in the pew, pick up your children if you have them, maybe take your wife by the hand, and you're going to take a step. You are going to consciously choose to take a step. In a direction. Go away. Make a choice. That's life, Brother Steve. It's the fact that you live. That's all that's between you and dying. Your money, that's not standing between you and dying. Your talents, that's not between you and dying. God's not interested in your money. God's not interested in your talents in this regard. God's not interested in how much you think you're worth to humanity. God's not interested in your looks. Your looks don't stand between you and death. Your strength, your intellect, your possessions, your clothing, your car. None of the things that you are living for this morning is between you and death. Maybe between you and God. Is anybody listening? I said it may be between you and God this morning, but it's not between you and death. Your fun, your hobbies, your sports, your games, all that you do, none of that is stopping you from dying. Oh, those things may stand between you and living for God and being faithful to God and being sold out to the will of God and serving God. Could be a family member. You could be wrapped up in a job, wrapped up in making money, wrapped up in the pleasures of the world. But God's not waiting till you have your fun, count your money, polish your car, play your games before you die. The only thing that stands between you and death is a step, and that step's just your life. The direction it's going right now. Drive. Drive. That step and that life represents energy. It represents action, does it not? I mean, I'm moving. You know what I'm doing right now? I may not be sweating from walking, but even though I'm sweating from I'm exerting energy. There's something active, Brother Grubbs, going on in my body right now. My mind is thinking. My body is moving. And whether it's my fingers or my feet or my arms, I'm exerting energy. I'm in motion. There are things taking place.
Amen.
That's life. Where are you headed to when you leave here? Spiritually, where are you headed? Decisions. Choices. Can I promise you this, and you believe me today? Whatever your time span is in life, the life that separates you from death, no matter how short, no matter how long, Andrew, it may be, bad choices can never be outlived. You have to live with them. I live every day with bad choices, Brother Jim, that I've made. I regret them. I've got forgiveness for them. God's given me victory over them. But I still live with those bad choices. The key is get them under the blood, get victory over them. And quit making them. Energy. What are you doing with your life? What are you expensing your energy to fulfill? Where are you headed? What are you doing this morning? Where is the focus of your strength today? The fact that you live, the fact that you have direction, the fact that you make decisions, the fact that something drives you is what's between you and death. And young lady, all that is the little word called life. The fact that you're alive this morning. Amen. Lastly, when I think of what separates me from death, Brother Kevin, I thought of destiny. Here's what he said. He said, as God liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Not you, not my mother, not my wife, not my children, nor my grandchildren, Brother Danny. Just me. Destiny. Destiny. Boy, that's a little word with a lot of reality to it. Me and death. You and death. Just you and death. Nobody else. Mama's out of the picture. Daddy's out of the picture. Chase is out of the picture. Bethany's out of the picture. Just you and death. That's destiny, son. There is an earthly life to consider. That's what David talks about when he said the word. When he said the word, Brother Brooks, he said me. When David said there's but a step between me and death, that word me is talking about David's earthly world. Just a step between me and death. That's his earthly world. It's what I'm doing right now with my life. It's what I done yesterday with my life. What I done Thursday with my life. What I've done last week and the day before, the week before, the month before. That's destiny. That's what I'm doing with my life. That's the me of this verse. And then there's death. When I think of that word death, there's two things that come to mind and I'm finished. Eternal loss. Eternal life. That's all that there is.
Yes, sir.
Not more advanced video games. Not better automobiles or better technology or more conveniences or more comforts in life. Two things. Eternal loss. Eternal life. Death represents one of those two for you this morning.
Man.
Destiny. Right now. As God lives and as your soul is alive this morning, there's just a step between you and death. And as a preacher of the gospel, I have a desire to tell you in my heart that I want to see you. When you step out of this life into the one to come, I want you to know that you have eternal life more than anything in this world.
Amen.
There's nothing on this road, there's nothing that I possess or own that is more important to me than your soul this morning, knowing in eternity that it has life.
Amen.
There's in this Bible a second death. After physical death has been experienced by everyone in here, for it as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. After that judgment, there's the reality of the second death, where there is a constant loss that is represented by the word eternal, everlasting punishment, no end. Light a match to a piece of paper and it'll burn and it'll consume it, and there'll be a while, it'll just go out. There's nothing there to burn. It's done vanished. It's done been consumed. But not with this second death. It is the reality of eternal loss everlasting lost or everlasting life. In the presence of God, rejoicing in His presence with the saints of God throughout eternity, ruling and reigning with Christ. The joy and the splendor of that reality is manifest to those who understands that there's only one thing between them and death, and that is just that. That's it. What I just did, what that represents. And making the right decision to face the reality of death. Death hurts. Oh, you may die a painless death. God may snatch you out of here. You may never suffer a moment. But death hurts. Hurts those around you. The hope and the comfort is knowing that you're right with God. Knowing that you were ready to meet the Lord. Knowing that when you step out into eternity, your heart is fixed. Just a step. You're fixing to take a step. You can't stop yourself. No way you can keep from it. You are fixing to stand and step. If that step was the last step, where are you at with God this morning? Stand to our feet. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. We're praying. If you're here this morning, under the sound of my voice, you can get right with God today. You can give your heart to Jesus. You can be saved. Be ready to meet God. You're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I got right with God." Listen to me. Look up here for just a moment, and then I'm going to pray. When Robert called me, when Brother Bobby called me about Eddie stepping out into eternity, my soul sank for his eternal state. You listening? Talked to several people that had witnessed to him. Brother Mike had witnessed to him. Brother David Wells had witnessed to him. Brother Bob and Miss Angie had talked to him. I'd had the opportunity to preach to him. And he'd always go back to the same story, the same preacher, the same place where he said he'd give his heart to God. And I can't argue with that. That's between him and the Lord as I stand before you. But here's what he was honest enough to say to every one of those individuals. As far as I know, he'd always say, "I ain't right with God." Some of you can't admit that this morning. Some of you can't come to a reality of your condition with the Lord and get right. He stepped out into eternity. If he was saved, he's with the Lord. But he stands before the Lord who gave everything imaginable for him to live, having thrown it all away. What are you going to do with it today?